1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask for your blessing now upon this time as we open your word. And Lord, we approach this time solemnly because we understand how important this is as a church and as individual believers, that we learn from your word and that we spend time in your word. And so we ask that you would do the work that only you can do this morning, that you would speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Years ago, I remember reading the biography of Sam Walton. And Sam Walton was, of course, he was the founder of Walmart, but it's amazing to read his story because he really started from almost nothing and kind of built this enormous empire that's really a big part of our lives. You know, he's really touched all of our lives in a certain way, but he eventually, through building up Walmart, he became the richest man in America for a time. But then, as he passed away, he left his fortune to his children. And when he did that, his children then became some of the richest people in the world. And up until 2005, the Walton family held 5 spots out of the top 10 richest Americans. And I mean, that's his wealth, Sam Walton's wealth, split into his family. And 5 of them were in the top 10. And that's amazing. But you think about the difference between the dad and then the children, right? The dad started from nothing and he worked his way up to this wealth. But then we have these kids who were second generation wealth. I mean, they had everything given to them, and I'm not demeaning their character or anything about them. It's just how it played out for them, right? They got all of this wealth given to them, and that second generation wealth. And when I look at myself as a Christian, I understand the wealth that I received as a second generation Christian. And I know there's some of you here that are like that, right? You grew up similar to me in that you're not a first-generation Christian. Your parents were Christian. And there were a lot of advantages that I had because of that. And I'm not saying this to brag about myself because these were all things that, like, I had zero input in. You know, my parents were Christians, and they sent me to a Christian school. I had to memorize verses, right? And there were times I didn't want to. And I was made to do that. I was made to grow up around Christian friends and be in church all the time. And looking back on that second generation advantage that I received, I can see the advantage that I had in that. But you know, honestly, there were times when you know, in my life where I would look at all that I had, all those advantages that I had, and say, man, I think I'd be a better Christian if I had more advantages. You know, and to look at it that way and go, you know what, I don't know what more I could have asked for, really, but, you know, that's in our flesh going, you know, the reason I'm not as good as I think I should be is those things, right? And those other advantages, and maybe I just need more. But there were also times where I would look at other Christians, and I would hear their testimony, and they, you know, they grew up completely opposite, right? With unsaved parents and you know, just a broken home or going to public school and not knowing anything about the Lord. And then later in life, they got saved. And I would look at them and go, they seem like incredible Christians, just like living for the Lord. And I would go, maybe I'd be a better Christian if I came from that sort of background, right? And if I just had that, maybe I would be a better Christian. And the Lord has brought all sorts of people into this place from all different backgrounds. We have first-generation Christians, we have second, we have third-generation Christians here this morning. And regardless of how you got here, right, we can all look around at where we are now and say we have advantages right here in place right now to help us in our Christian life. We look around and we see fellow believers. We see this community that we have that is there to encourage us. And that's an advantage that we have. Right, other strong believers that are there encouraging us to grow in the Lord. We can talk about just having a pastor who preaches to us, a good pastor that preaches the word of God to us, our Sunday school teachers. How about the fact that we have so many available copies of the Word of God in our language. Right? We just heard Lynn White and the people in Papua New Guinea. And somebody asked about translating the Word of God. And Lynn White and her husband translated the New Testament. Some of them, that's what they have. They have the New Testament. Praise the Lord for that. But they don't, we have both Testaments. And there's some over there that don't. That have none. Nothing in their language. And we look and say, we have so many advantages in place to help us grow, to help us in our Christian life. And as Paul writes 1 Corinthians, he's writing to this church that has a lot of advantages and they know this. But as they saw those advantages and as they understood those, there started to come about this problem because of those advantages. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 because their issue with these advantages and they're bragging about the advantage they had over other people. It was leading them really down the wrong track. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because it's a big part of the beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians as we come into chapter 3, but chapter 1 and verse 10, after Paul gives his introduction and greets them, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ." And Paul was writing to this church who had kind of started to divide, and there was contentions, arguments among them, because they were looking at each other and saying, "Well, I'm learning from this person. I'm learning from Paul." And this other person would go, "Well, I'm studying from Peter or Apollos or these different ones." And what they were saying is, because I have this advantage of this teacher, I'm better than other people, right? I have this greater advantage because I have chosen, or this person has chosen me, or whatever. Because of this teacher in my life, I have this advantage, and so therefore I'm above the rest of you. And if we go back to chapter 3, in verse 3, again he addresses this. He says, "Ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Bragging about their advantages and then indicating others' disadvantages because of whatever teacher they were associated with. But then if we go back to the beginning of chapter 3, Paul had mentioned some things, right? It was divisive and dividing them. But look what he says in chapter 3 in verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto carnal," or as unto spiritual, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Paul looks at them and he says, you have all these advantages. You have all these great teachers that are teaching you. But then he says, so why are you not growing like you should? Why are you still babes in Christ? If you claim to have all of this helping you grow, and you have these incredible teachers, who wouldn't like to learn from Paul or from Peter, right? Or these men of God in the New Testament? They had that, and they were thankful for that and proud of that. And then Paul goes, okay, why have you not grown then? Why do I still have to treat you like babes in Christ? Why can't I feed you the meat of the Word of God and have to still be dwelling on the milk of the Word of God? How come you have not grown? And Paul says, even with all these advantages, why are you still stagnant? Why have you not grown? You know what we find is 70% of wealthy families are broke by the second generation. 70% of wealthy families are broke by the second generation. And then 90% by the third generation. And they say it's generally bad investments and too much debt and just overindulgent spending. So these people, these second generation wealth, right? The people with a lot of advantages, right? Given all this and really set up to do well, and yet they don't. And I'm afraid that churches can fall into that same trap, because the Corinthians did. They were set up to grow. They were set up to be Christians that could really build a lot on their faith and upon the foundation that they were given. They were set up to do this, and yet when Paul had to deal with them, he says, you're not. You're not. You have all of this, and yet you're not growing. And I'm afraid it's very easy for us to fall into that same trap and to be headed on the same track that the Corinthians were on. And so Paul has some things to say to those people in that day, and he has some things to say to us this morning. And the first is this. He says, you all have all you need, so get building. You all have all you need, but you just need to start building. And he says, whether you are a Paul or Apollos or Cephas, he says, you really have all you need. You know, I don't think I would have made it 200 years ago. You know, that was the time in America where a lot of people were traveling west, right, over the Oregon Trail. And I read about that and go, I don't think I would have made it. And I've had some experience with this because we used to play the Oregon Trail game. You remember that old computer game? And so here's how I used to play. You would start out and you would pick your name and the names of your family who are gonna make it along with you. And then you would go to the general store and you had to buy the things that you needed, right? So I would go there and, you know, they recommend all of this stuff and I would buy a lot of that. But then when it came to food, I would say, I don't need any food because I'm buying a lot of bullets. Because if you know the game, there's like a hunting mechanic where you can go out and you can hunt. And I go, that's the best part of the game, okay? So I'm not going to need any food. I'm just going to buy all the bullets I can and hunt. And man, I never made it, right? And I think about that, and if I wanted to accomplish that and make it all the way, I would have to have everything I need, right? I'd have to bring all that with me. And Paul was looking at Christians who really had everything they needed to grow, but they weren't really focused on that. They were focused on who they had or who they didn't have in the way of like pastors or teachers or these other advantages. And what Paul needed to do was really get them back to seeing what it was that they really needed. And he was telling them, it doesn't matter who your teacher is, right? Whether it's Paul or Apollos or Peter, he says, what you need to understand is that all of you, whoever your teacher is, you have all you need to grow. And I want to look at verse 11. This is the verse that we read at the beginning. He brings them all right to this point. And this is unifying, right? To a church that was having a lot of problems with division. Paul's going to bring them back to something that unifies them. And he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He says, it doesn't matter if it's Paul or Apollos or Peter. You all have this foundation because there is no other foundation that can be laid. He's not saying you can have a bad foundation. It's this or no foundation. Other foundation can no man lay. But he says you have Jesus Christ. And the only reason they would make any sort of progress is because of Jesus Christ as their foundation. Right? It was only because of that that they would make any sort of progress. Typically, we credit a lot of, when we look at a building, we'll credit the beauty of that or the function of that to the builders, the architect, you know, the craftsmen that work on that, the interior designers, and all of those people. And we give them all the credit for all of that. But what if they were supposed to make a regular house, right? Or even to do their best on a house, but we told them you have to make it a mile off the coast of Connecticut. And then you go, well, I mean, what does it matter? We can pour concrete and it's just going to sink to the bottom. Every board we put down going off the side of the boat. And you go, if you don't have a foundation, right, then it doesn't matter how great the craftsmen are because they're kind of just pouring things over the edge of a boat, right? And Paul was saying, listen, you have a lot of craftsmen that are helping you and supposed to be helping you build. But he says, what you need to understand is it comes back to the foundation that you have. And he says, if you have Jesus Christ, you have all you need. You have all you need to grow. And in Matthew chapter 7, and I want you to go there with me, Matthew chapter 7, and verse 24, Matthew 7 and verse 24. Jesus is using this parable, this story, to communicate something to them. And he says, therefore, Matthew 7, 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So we have the one foundation, right? And then we have verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And we know the results of both of those. The one that is built upon the rock, that stays, right? And they're able to build upon that. The one that's built upon sand doesn't last, right? They cannot build upon it because everything is constantly beaten down and broken down. And that foundation in verse 24, Jesus is saying, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, right? They've chosen to build upon the word of God, Jesus Christ, the living word. They've made that foundation. And that is a solid rock that they're able to then layer their life on top of. And when they do that, it stands. And there can be growth. There can be progress. There can be maturity in that Christian life because of the foundation. We look at other foundations and everything they try to do on top of that crumbles and does not stand. And it's because of that foundation. And with Jesus Christ as our foundation, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 3:11, we have, in Christ, we have the pattern for what we're supposed to build on top of that. And I'm not going to spend, we could spend a lot of time in this, but basically it's the idea of quality on top of quality. Right? The same quality that we see in Jesus Christ, we build our lives in that quality. Right? The characteristics of Christ are what we build into our life. That's what should be built on top of that. But also, in Christ, we have the power and the enabling then to build. It's not just that he starts us off and then we're on our own, but it's everything through Jesus Christ. Right? Because he is our foundation, and then he enables us to do all of this. We can't do this by ourselves. And in Jesus Christ, we have the power for what we need to do. And I want to look down in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered, right? We had these other people that were involved in your life. He says, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. That's what it is. God is giving the increase. As our foundation, he also enables us to do all that we need to do because we cannot grow without Jesus Christ. Even as great as all these advantages that we have are, we can't do it without Jesus Christ. And I have to stop right here and ask, do you know Jesus Christ? Because this is where it has to begin. There has to be that foundation. And do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him not just as a historical character, but in a personal way where you have made the choice to accept him as your Savior, seeing your sinfulness, seeing your wickedness, seeing the judgment of God that's upon your life because of your sin, and then knowing what Christ did, knowing that he took all of your sin upon his shoulders and bore it on the cross. And he died for you. He took your punishment. He took the payment for your sin upon himself. And then the Bible says, if you just call upon Jesus Christ in faith and trust him, you receive him as your Savior. And he lays this foundation. He lays this foundation for a life that looks like Jesus Christ, for this wonderful building that he wants you to build. But then if you do know Jesus Christ, we really have to say, okay, if I have this foundation, right? If Jesus Christ has laid the foundation of faith in my life, and then I have all these advantages, we have to ask ourselves, are we growing like we should? Is our life building on that foundation like it should be? Are we where God would want us to be? Are we growing, or just have we become really stagnant? Even as blessed as we are as American Christians with all that we have, are we really growing, or have we just come to the point where it's like we've stopped and we're just stagnant in our Christian life? And if our answer is to maybe do what the Corinthians did and to look around and say, well, you know, maybe if I had more advantages, right? Or if things were just different in my life, or maybe if I had less advantages, or maybe if, you know, if this was different, or if, you know, better whatever, or more of whatever, if our answer then is to look at the advantages that we have around us that God has given to us, then we need to understand what's the second thought this morning, and that is that advantages don't guarantee advancement. Advantages do not guarantee our advancement. And the response is, so get building. Get building upon your life. Paul says in verse 11, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. And I mentioned this, but that includes these other teachers. He was pointing out to them that Apollos and Paul and Cephas or Peter, those weren't their foundation. They weren't going to grow because of those teachers. It wasn't going to be those teachers that guaranteed them to be better than someone who had another teacher. It wasn't that because they had Paul, that great apostle, as their teacher, that all of a sudden they were going to be this incredible Christian, far better than Peter's, than people who followed Peter or Apollos. I mean, who even knows who Apollos is, right? And Paul's pointing out, listen, those advantages are not going to guarantee that you will be some great Christian because you followed that person. And what they were doing is they were attributing growth or the possibility of growth to the wrong source. And, you know, we look back at medicine over the course of history, and we look back at it now and kind of chuckle at the things they thought, but it seems like there was a lot of attributing the wrong cause to the effects that they saw. One of the major theories from long ago was the theories of, like, the humors. I remember reading about this, and I had to look it up again, but they thought, like, everything, all your health was because of four liquids that you had in your body, and they had to be balanced. It was black bile, yellow bile, and then it was blood and phlegm, right? And so they're like, if all of those things are kind of balanced, I guess you have like the same amount of all of them that you're healthy. We look at that and go, I don't know, whatever. I guess they were trying their best. But so they would do a lot of bloodletting, right? And like, especially for smallpox, when that was going around, they were like, too much blood in this person. You know, so like, let's do some leeches or some of these things. And we're not going to get into this because maybe you're getting a little squeamish. But, you know, it was... So even if a person had smallpox and they did bloodletting and then that person somehow got better, they'd be like, we knew it all along. We were on the right track with this bloodletting thing, right? Let's order some more leeches and all that. And they would attribute like the wrong cause to the effect and say, well, they got better. It must have been this, when that was the wrong thing. And we can do that in the Christian life and say, you know what, this is gonna happen because of this advantage, because of all of this I have in my life. And then Paul points out some things to them as they're so focused on these advantages and how they were going to be better because of this, better than other people because of this teacher. He points out to them that they was causing a lot of division, right? He points that out in chapter 1. He points it out again in chapter 3 and verse 3. He says, there's strife and divisions among you. And he says, If you think this is the cause for all this growth and building in your life, then how come there are so many divisions because of your focus on this? Why? Why are you all divided? Why is there so much of that? And he talks about contentions and the arguments that they would have, where we can just imagine, right? You're with someone who's following a different teacher, is learning from someone, and you think that's a better teacher, and you get together and all you do is argue, and someone walks away proud, someone else walks away discouraged, and you go, nothing good came of that. Nothing good came from that conversation. But then he points out something else. And Paul's got a special word for them for when they get like this and for us. And he uses it in verse 1 and he uses it in verse 3 of chapter 3. Look at verse 3. He says, ye are yet carnal. You're yet carnal. It's the word that means like of the flesh, flesh focused and flesh driven, flesh motivated. You're in your flesh and you're living through your flesh. And it's that part of us that kind of wants to control all that we do. And it's constantly fighting with the Spirit of God within us, right? And fighting against what we know is right and what many times we want to do, but yet we have our flesh that fights against that. And Paul looks at them and says, because of all that you're thinking and all the way that's playing out, he says, I have nothing else to call you but carnal, because that is what you are. And anytime we exalt the work of men over the work of God, amen, we're in the flesh, amen, right? Anytime, and that's what they were doing. They were saying, well, I'm of Paul and these people, and they were exalting that work, that this man would do a work in their life and not that it was God, not that it was Christ working through them. Nothing about their foundation. It was this other person. And Paul says, when you do that, you're in the flesh. You're exalting the work of men over the work of God. And even faith wrongly placed is unbelief, right? And so if they were placing their faith in these men, saying, I'm going to grow because this teacher or this person in my life, I'm going to grow because of this advantage, it may have been faith, but it was not the right type of faith. And when faith is wrongly placed, it's unbelief. It's only biblical faith when it's in Jesus Christ. And if it's not biblical faith, then it's just unbelief. That's what it is, because we are not trusting in Jesus Christ. And this is where this was leading them, right? Down this path, as they were like, boy, I've got this great teacher and I've got this advantage over the rest of the people, and I'll be a better Christian because of all these things in my life. And it was heading them down this path of carnality, division, and unbelief. And that's where it was leading them. And so there was no growth that was taking place because of this. When you're in the flesh, you're not growing. When you're focused on the flesh, you're not going to grow. And that's where they were. And we need to stop. We need to stop thinking that our advantages have grown us, right? That you're the Christian you are because of all the advantages that you had, right? All the things that were in your life. And they played a part, but they are not why you grow. And we have to stop thinking that. But also, I think what's even worse is thinking ahead, saying, I am going to grow because of this church, or because of my pastors, or because of my Sunday school teachers, or because I have so many copies of the Word of God, and I'm so blessed as a Christian with all of this. And then saying, I'm going to grow because of all of that. Those things are not why you grow. They're not. We don't grow because of all of these advantages. We grow because of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I'd like to say that because you came to church and because you're hearing me preach, that you're going to be a great Christian. You know, and boy, I mean, I'm up here this morning preaching this incredible message, and I just know everybody's going to be a better Christian because of my message. And it's not true, right? Just because you're here and just because you're listening doesn't mean that you're going to grow. And this is James's point. If we go to James chapter 1 and verse 23, he says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He says, we can all be hearers of the word, and that's what you are right now, right? You're a hearer of the word. But you can also just go from here and straightway forget what manner of man you are, right? Whatever God shows you, and just go on from that. And James is saying, listen, just because you hear, and just because you're in a place where you can hear, and just because you have this advantage of being able to hear and read the word of God, does not mean that you will grow because of that. And James is a very practical book, right? It's a very practical book about growing and being a better Christian. But he points out that it's just not going to happen. It's not guaranteed to happen because of all the advantages that you have. I remember learning about biology or chemistry, whatever, in high school, about osmosis. You remember what that is? I remember hearing the word. I had to look it up again. But it's let me read it. It's the spontaneous movement of molecules across a semi-permeable membrane, right? And so here's an illustration I found. It's like making pickles, right? You take a cucumber, and then you get like your solution. It's like vinegar and dill and salt and water, right? And you put that all together. And then you take your cucumber and you put it in there, and it becomes a pickle by osmosis, right? All that stuff passes into that pickle, right? And that's the idea, right? It just sits there and soaks, and then it turns into a pickle. And boy, would like it if the Christian life worked like that, right? If we just came and sat and soaked, and you know the third word, right? They'd say sit and soak, it's sour. But listen, if that's our Christian life, if that's how we think we're going to be a better Christian, if we just sit and kind of do nothing and let it happen to us and let things just spontaneously happen in our life, Paul's saying that's not how it works. It's not just that you have these advantages around you, that you instantly become a better Christian by all of that. And Paul comes down to this end and he says, listen, there's something you need to realize. And he says it in the end of verse 10. So if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, you have all that you need, all of you, no matter who your teacher is, you have all you need if you are a Christian, because you have the foundation of Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to stop thinking that all these advantages are guaranteeing that you will become a good Christian or that you will grow. And he looks at them and he says in the end of verse 10, just the last part, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And Paul is saying to them, get building. Start building upon your Christian life. Stop sitting there and thinking that you're going to grow just because you're blessed with all of these teachers and you're blessed with sitting under this person or that person. He says, you got to start building upon your Christian life. You have your foundation, and now you need to purposefully and thoughtfully build on that by faith. And you know, I praise God for where I am and for the people that God has put around me. And I praise God for this church and all of that. But look down in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul understood this, right? Paul understood that it wasn't bad that they had these teachers. And he tells them this in verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or even the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. He was saying God's put these things in your life for a reason, right? God has surrounded you with all of this for a purpose. But Paul says you're not growing. Even with all of this around you, you're still not growing. And he says you need to get building, right? That's his message to them and his message to us this morning. Get building. And I think maybe for them it would have been good to start with a layer of humility, right? I think we could all do with that, right? A layer of humility and then maybe some bricks of patience, right? Or some beams of love, and I'm running out of building supplies pretty fast. You know, Joyce, I think that's something, you know. But building, right? All of these things into our life. And the point is, it's not just going to happen. It's not just going to happen because we're around all of this. There has to be thought and intention that goes into our Christian life, and again, by faith, right? It's all because of Jesus Christ as our foundation. But there has to be this choice that we have to build upon that. And you know, if we don't, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, because if we don't, even with all that we have as Christians, as blessed as we are, if we just sit and expect things to happen, we're going to live out verse 15, where it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Where we've built, as Paul said, wood, hay, and stubble, things that don't last, things that are not of our foundation, right? They're not quality on top of quality. It's just whatever else happened to come into our life. All these different attributes that are not of Christ, right? Because of Christ is gold, silver, and precious stones. Of ourself, that's wood, hay, and stubble. That's the things that happen naturally if we just let life take its course and we're not intentional and purposeful in living and building for Christ. That's what's going to happen. And we're going to end up in verse 15, standing before Jesus Christ, really with just a foundation. You're never going to lose your foundation. You're always going to be saved if you trusted in Jesus Christ, If you've made that choice, you will not lose that salvation. But there is the possibility that as Christians who are so blessed in America that we can end up standing before Jesus Christ, and when our life passes through the fires of his judgment, all we have left are the foundation, our salvation in Jesus Christ. As Christians who have a church, who have fellow believers around us, who have probably a half dozen Bibles in our homes and, you know, one on your phone that you have with you all the time. And all of this, all of these advantages that we have, and it's possible that we could come before Jesus Christ and with all of this, just be there with a foundation and saying, Lord, this is all I've got. All the rest is just wood, hay, and stubble that I built upon that. And the question this morning is, what are you building with all the advantages that God has given you? What have you built? And you know, by the grace of God, it's never too late to start. It is never too late to start building upon your foundation. And that's the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God, isn't it? That we're all so thankful for, that we can start right now. We can start today and start building upon that. And I wanted to specifically challenge you to do something. By the end of tonight, I want you to think of just one thing that you want to build into your life. Right? Just one thing. Humility or kindness or patience, forgiveness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, just one thing. Just focus on one thing and say, by the grace of God, I need this in my life. Find one thing by the end of tonight that you can build into your life. And listen, if you say, well, I want to find the perfect thing, as long as it's something scriptural, you're good. You know, as long as it's not something that's of the flesh, you know, just pick something and then say, I'm gonna build this purposefully into my life. I'm going to start building upon my foundation. And then you start and you just make it a matter of prayer and say, Lord, help me with this. Help me to build this into my life. Help me to be more of this in my life. And then find verses. Just find verses about this and start memorizing them. Start meditating on them throughout the day. And there's so much you could do, but it's the idea of just saying, all right, instead of me just letting things happen, I'm going to start doing something. By faith, trusting Christ with his help. But I don't want to get to stand before Jesus Christ and have nothing. By God's grace, I'm at least going to have this one thing. I'm going to at least say I'm starting with this one thing, and Monday morning I'm hitting the ground running, and I'm going to start building this into my life, asking the Lord to do this one thing. I mean, it's got to start somewhere. Right. We have so much that God has given to us, and what are we going to do with that? And I'm not going to check on this, you know. I'm not going to be like, raise hands tonight, who picked something, or, you know, next Wednesday night, have you say anything. It's between you and God or someone else if you want accountability. But, you know what, and I think, you know, I mentioned that because it probably makes people nervous going, oh man, is he going to ask about this? But, you know what's, we are going to get asked about this one day, aren't we? Because there's, and I mean, that should make us nervous, that one day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ and He knows far more than any of the rest of us would ever know about that. Well, listen, this morning, if you're saved, you have the foundation. You've got all you need. If you have Christ, you have all you need to start building. And then we look around and say, but on top of that, God has given us so many other things that just are there to help us grow and help us build upon this foundation. But they don't guarantee that, right? All those advantages, they don't guarantee that we're going to grow. So get building. Get building upon that foundation. Be intentional and purposeful about it. Say, I'm not going to stand before Jesus Christ with just a foundation. By God's grace, I will build quality upon quality. I'm going to start. Just going to start with one thing. But I'm going to get building for Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the foundation that we've seen this morning. Lord Jesus Christ, our foundation. But Lord, when we see that, we understand that we have a responsibility to build on top of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we need you. We can't do this by ourselves. Even with all the people that are around us, Lord, we understand that how much we depend upon you. Lord, as Christians, help us to get building. Lord, help us to start building Lord, testimonies to your grace and testimonies to your power and to your salvation, Lord, that we'd walk worthy of the calling that you've given to us as Christians. And so, Lord, we ask for your help now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.